Today's Shir's Masechta Yevamos Daf Kof Beis. We will begin on Daf Kof Aleph on the Beis, five lines from the bottom. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says the word Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda have a koy kamed Rav Yehuda Amalei. And Rav Yehuda said to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Sak ta lezir zedekani, please take this bundle of wood and come tomorrow. To come to the place that we're going to be designating, as we discussed in our previous year, the halacha is that the place where the chalitz is going to take place should be previously designated. So he said, bring this bundle of wood, presumably to sit on, and come to the place where we're going to designate that you should be l'strufei be'chamisha, that you should be one of the five dayonim that will be attending Lefersume Milsa, as we learned in our previous year, that for the procedure of the Chalitza, we try to have five Dayanim. Amalei, so Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda told Rav Yehuda, Tanina, we learned the Braisa B'Yisrael. The Pasuk says in the procedure of Chalitza, Lahakim L'Achiv Shem B'Yisrael, and from that we learned, Bezdin B'Yisrael, that the only individuals who could participate in being in that Bezdin are Yisrael, Lavi Bezdin Shalgerim, Vana, and I, he said about himself, Gerana, I am a Ger, and since I'm a Ger, I am disqualified to participate in this procedure. And from here we see that he held that even a Ger cannot be not just a dayan in the chalitza, but he can't even be one of the two additional tayonim that we should have as part of the dayonim. So even though we just learned that a ger cannot be part of this, cannot be part of the bezdin of the chalitza, but it seems that the rishonim say that a person who is unlearned in the halacha of chalitza can't be a part of that bezdin, because as we've learned, the only purpose of having such individuals, having the five dayanim in the chalitza, is, as we explained in our previous year, is lefarsume milsa, to publicize what happened, and to fasume milsa can be accomplished even without even if the person is not necessarily Talmud Chacham familiar with these halachas. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kigayin Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Mafikna Mamame Apame. When we have an individual who is as honest as Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, we could use him to say that somebody is obligated to pay money. Ask the Gemara, it seems to be the Mafikna Sakadatach, that we could just rely on his testimony itself to do so. But ask the Gemara, Vapishne Edim, Amar Rachmana. The Torah is very clear that you have to have two dayonim, two edim, to be able to do something like that. So how can we suggest that one individual alone is enough? Says the Gemara, what it meant was El Mirani Ishtara Pume, that even if we can't collect money based on one testimony, but the halacha is that if one aid comes and says that this debt was already paid, and that even though there is a document that seems to indicate that there's still an outstanding debt, we don't rely on that document in such a situation. But Rashi points out that even though if one aid comes and says that this shtar that seems to indicate that somebody owes money, we don't rely on it when there's this one aid saying contrary, but still we wouldn't rip up the shtar. We would leave the shtar to see what will be eventually people will say about the shtar. Tosfos says that what the Gemara means to say is sometimes in order to collect, even if I have a document backing up my claim, I need to make sometimes a shvuah is required and sometimes a shvuah is not required. So Tosfos says what the Gemara means to say is that if he said that this document is not to be trusted, the person, even though he's only an Eid Echad, the person who wants to rely on this document to be able to collect is going to have to bring is going to have to bring, is going to have to swear to back up his claim, and just by the fact that he has a shtar alone will not be adequate. Amar Rava, ger donas chaveroi, a ger could be the dayan on a din Torah for another person who's a ger, midvat Torah, shenemar, because the pasuk says, even tzaim tasam alecha melech, ashivrecha Hashem alkecha boi, mikarev achecha tasam alecha melech. A dayan is considered a melech, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, melech b'mishpat yamin oritz, and the Gemara Masechet Ksubos daf Kufhei Amud Beis, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin daf Zayin Amud Beis says, the im dayim hadayin lamelech, if the dayin could be treated like the king, she'ein tzarech lanoshim, that he doesn't rely on other people, and he has his own source of income, so he doesn't need to rely on people for money, and he could be an individual who could be the dayin. But here we see that a dayin is compared to a melech. And the pasuk says, Alecha, when it comes to judge another Jew, you have to have Hura Bina Mekerev Achecha. That's when you have to have somebody who's like you. Just like you're a born Jew, he has to be a born Jew. Avo ger donas chaveroi ger, but one ger could be a dayin for the other ger. Hoise imam Yisrael, but if the ger's mother was Yisrael, even though his father was not, the halach is don afil Yisrael, the halach is that he could be a dayan even for another Yisrael. There's interesting machlokes rishonim, who is considered a ger? Meaning, what would be the halach if you had an individual who was hayrosa v'leidos v'kedusha, that when he was conceived and he was born, obviously, his parents were already gerim. So on one hand, his parents are gerim. Does that mean that he's considered a ger? On the other hand, he was born as a full-fledged Jew, and maybe he should be considered a Yisrael. The Ri's opinion is that he's considered a full-fledged Yisrael, and Rabbeinu Tam says that if both of his parents are gerim, then he's considered a ger as well, even though he was born b'kedusha. Elinya chalitza, but says the Gemara, even though we can have this discussion regarding dinei taira, but says the Gemara elinya chalitza, when we speak about a chalitza, a ger is disqualified to be a ger, to be a dayan, achei aviv imam Yisrael, unless both of his parents are born Jews. Shenemar, as we learned previously, the pasuk says v'nikra shmoi b'Yisrael, it has to be v'nikra shmoi b'Yisrael. There's a question amongst the Rishonim, to what degree we can or can't appoint a ger. According to Rashi, a ger certainly could be a dayan for another ger. Rashi says that for dinei mominus, a ger could be the dayan. The Rif disagrees, and the Rif says that even for dinei mominus, a ger cannot be the dayan for Yisrael. The Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that part of the consideration in our Gemara is that Sroro. Part of the consideration, he says, in our Gemara is appointing someone to a position of authority. And a ger is not an individual who could be appointed to such a position. So therefore, says Tosfos, if this is going to be a din Torah, where Bezdin is going to have to exercise its authority, then a ger cannot be the dayan. But if it's just going to be a din Torah where people's opinion are going to be cited, like the dinei Torah in our time, then a ger would be kosher. Other Rishonim make the difference, a number of other points. Rabbeinu Davin says that we can't make him a permanent dayan, but on a temporary basis he can be a dayan. And the Rishonim are also debate, why will be the halacha if his father is a ger, but his mother is a born Jew? According to the Rif, the halacha is that he cannot be a dayan, he's still considered a ger. According to the Rabbeinu David, the halacha is that he can be a dayan, and it seems that that is the opinion of Rashi as well, that if his mother is a Jew, then we could be more lenient in not treating him as a ger. Omar, Rabbah, Amrav Kahana, Amrav Amrav. And Yomav Elio, if Elio Novi will come, Yomav Chaltsa Beminol, and he'll say that Chalitza should be done with a minol. The minol is made out of soft leather, and it covers the entire foot, and it's made out of a number of patches, a piece of leather, and they put it on the shoe, on the foot, and with laces to tie it together. So if Eliyahu will come, and he says we should do chalitza with a minol, we will accept what he says. But if he'll say, ain't chalitza b'samdol, if he say that we're not allowed to use a sandal, ain't shaymaloi. The halach is, a sandal is a shoe that's made out of hard leather. It does not cover the entire foot. It just, there's a sole and not entirely covering the foot. And it's made out of one piece of leather. And the halach is that if Eliyahu will say that we don't use a sandal, we won't listen to him. Shekfar, no guam a sandal, since everybody uses a sandal, and this is the source for halacha that's well known, and that is minig mevatel halacha. That if we have a halacha in place, and we have a minig in place, even Eliyahu cannot undo such a minig. And since this was the accepted minig that they did chalitza with a sandal, the halacha is Eliyahu Navi cannot detract and take away from the way things were always done. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav, Yom Eliyahu Yom Ein Chayitz Meminol, if Eliyahu will come and say that we don't use a minol, Shemiloi, we will pay attention. But that's only if he comes. Ein Chayitz Besandal, but if he'll say we may not use a sandal, Ein Shemiloi, Shekfar Nogu Am Besandal. Again, the power of a minig. Ask the Gemara, what is the difference between the two versions, Rabbi and Rav Yosef's versions that we just learned? Ikka b'nayu, minol chatchila. Can we use a minol, as long as Eliyahu didn't say anything about a minol? As long as Eliyahu HaNavi did not disqualify a minol, what is the halacha? According to Rabbi, we would not be allowed to use it, and according to Rav Yosef, we would be allowed to use it. So I saw that the Satmar Rebbe explains this Gemara. He says, what's the Gemara coming to teach us that Eliyahu is going to come and Eliyahu is going to tell us something that is contrary to what the halacha says, and will we listen to him and won't we listen to him? So he says, of course the Gemara doesn't mean to say that Eliyahu is going to say something that's contrary to halacha. What the Gemara comes to teach us is how important it is to follow the Messiah. That even though we have Eliyahu HaNavi, and who can we think of an individual who is greater than Eliyahu HaNavi? The Gemara, and there's no question that Eliyahu HaNavi is never going to come say opposite from what the Messiah is. But the Gemara is trying to teach us that even if it's Eliyahu HaNavi, with all the great respect that we have for Eliyahu HaNavi, we don't listen to Eliyahu HaNavi if he's coming to say contrary to what the Messiah is. And the question is, that many Mefarshim explain, ask that we know the very famous Gemara in Masechta Baba Metzia, where the Gemara says that Loi b'Shemayim hi, and the Torah was not left to Shemayim, and it's left to Chazal to make the determination what is the halacha. So why, they ask the Chasam Sofer, is Eliyahu HaNavi the individual that we pick, that will we trust him, won't we trust him? It's Loi b'Shemayim. And Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach. So the Chasam Sofer says that Eliyahu HaNavi actually, this is Chasam Sofer, and Shalos Tshuvos Chasam Sofer, Chelek Vav Simet Tzadiches. That indeed, he says, if Eliyahu HaNavi appears as a malach, then we won't listen to what he has to say, as great as he is. Because, as we just said, because Loi b'shamayim hi. However, says the Chasam Sofer, when Eliyahu HaNavi appears to us as a person, so then this is not considered a situation of Loi b'Shemayim. And he is the great Eliyahu HaNavi, and that's what the Gemara is coming to teach us. Again, as we said, that our Gemara is teaching us how important a minig is, and that many Rishonim say that even if a minig the Ritva I saw says that even if a minig is, somebody says a minig, we have a minig which seems to be a leniency, a kula, the halacha is that we follow the minig. However, I did see that the pre-chadush says that if there's a question that by following this minig we're going contrary to the halacha, says the pre-chadush, as important, and as we just learned, our Gemara teaches us how important minhagim are. Minhagim, he says, are not to be followed in a situation where it's going to be contrary to the halacha. Says the Gemara, Ulaman Damer, according to the version that we just learned, that we could use a minhag for chalitza, afil l'chatchila, that even l'chatchila we could use such a shoe to do the chalitza. Ask the Gemara Vatnan, chaltz of a minhag, if a minhag was used for the chalitza, says our Mishnah, chalitzasa ksheira. What does that mean? The Evid in, that by the Evid, the chalitza will be considered a valid chalitza. L'chatchila loy. But l'chatchila, we can't use such a shoe for chalitza. Yet from our Gemara, it seems that such a shoe could be used l'chatchila. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand. Our Mishnah agrees, huadin dafil l'chatchila. The halacha is that even l'chatchila, one could use a minhag. So if that's the case, why does the Mishnah use a wording that seems to say that it's only b'di'evit? Says the Gemara, v'aydi d'boi l'misni seifa. Since we're going to learn at the end of the Mishnah, v'ampilya, chalitzos psula, that if one uses a shoe made out of material, that ifilu d'yevid, that even b'di'evit, that chalitza is a disqualified chalitza, so that's why the Mishnah, for the sake of consistency in its wording, tananami reisha d'yevid. But the halacha really is that a minhag, according to this opinion, can be used even l'chatchila. Says the Gemara, this question, umin l'chatchila tanaihi, this question, if l'chatchila minhag could be used for chalitza, says the Gemara, is actually a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosi, pamach salachti l'netzivim, I once went in a tzivim, matzosi zokin echad, and I found a zokin, omarti loy, and I asked him, klum ata baki b'Rabbi Yehuda b'Beseira, do you know Rabbi Yehuda b'Beseira? Amalei, hey, absolutely. V'ashulchani, he eats by me on a regular basis. So he asks, Klomer Isa Shechalts B'yama, did you ever see him preside over Chalitza? Amalei, Chirisi Shechalts HaRepamim, I saw him preside over Chalitza many times. So he asked him, B'minal of a sandal, what kind of shoe was used? A minal of a sandal? Amalei, V'chicholtzin B'minal, may a minal be used for Chalitza? Amati loy imkay ma rabbi let me loyma shechotz b'mina chalitzosik sheira. How could you suggest differently? Ramey explicitly says that you could use a minal b'di'evid. Rabbi Yaakov oimer mishmoy, and Rabbi Yaakov says that according to Ramey, chalitz b'mina l'chatchila. So we see that this machlokes that we just had between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, if one could use a minal for the chalitza, is actually a machloikis tanoim, what Rameyer's opinion was. According to Rabbi Yaakov, it was kosher l'chatchila, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yossi, it was only kosher b'di'evit. Says the Gemara, Uman d'Amr, and according to the opinion that we've been learning, the l'chatchila loy, the l'chatchila, we should not use a minhag. The question is, my tama, why indeed not? Ilayim mishum d'hava defansa mi'al ragla. If you're going to say that the leather is going to be on top of his foot, va'arkasa, and the shoelaces that you tie the shoe with will be on top of the shoe, and therefore when you open up the shoelace, it'll be a situation, a ma'al da ma'al, that you're untying not something which is directly on the foot, but something which is on top of something which is on top of the foot. And that Torah Amra, when the Torah describes the chalitza procedure, the Torah says, v'chaltza nalamal ragloi, v'loi me'al damal, it has to be something that's directly on the foot, not something that's on top of what's in the foot. Says the Gemara, if that's the issue with a minhag, then the halacha ought to be, that with the Evid, you should not be allowed to use a minhag. And yet we just discussed that everybody agrees that you could use a minhag. The machlokes is if b'di'evid only or even l'chatchila. Says the Gemara that obviously, that's not considered ma'al d'ma'al. Because since you're opening up the shoelaces, and when you're opening up the shoelaces, what's going to happen is you're going to pull off the shoe. That's not called ma'al d'ma'al. What is the issue with a minhal? Says the Gemara, gzeir mishum minhal hamarupet. The question is that if you have a shoe that's ripped, and since, as we said, the minhal is made out of soft leather, we're concerned that since it easily tears, the halacha is you may end up using a shoe that isn't really on top of the foot. And therefore, and since it's not top of the foot, and it's not on the foot in a secure fashion, and chalitza requires one to pull off the shoe. This is not called pulling off the shoe. Inami, another concern with a minhal, and shem chatzi minhal. There's only part of the shoe left, and still it could be put on the foot, but that's not considered a shoe if it's not uncovering the entire foot. And since that could happen, the halacha is we shouldn't use such a shoe for the chalitza. Amar Rav, ilav de chamita l'chavivi. If not that I saw Reb Chia, my uncle, the chol's sandal, that he used a sandal, the islay shinsen, that had shoelaces and hooks to make it tight, anolav chalitzna, I would not use for chalitza el b'sandal the taya. I would use this type of shoe that is tighter, the mehadik tfei, that's tighter on the foot. A shoe that's tight on the foot is a shoe that you're going to have to do a proper chalitza with. V'haydi don, and the shoe that we use for chalitza, afgav this by chamerta, even though it has hooks and loops, katrina b'misna, the halacha is that we tie it well on the foot. We tie it tight on the foot so that we should know that when we're doing the chalitza is being done in a serious manner. Simin hataras yivam sandal. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav. Hataras yivam l'shuk. At what point is it considered a chalitza? B'shmitas roiv ha'ekev. If you took off the shoe, most of the shoe from the foot, that's considered that you performed a proper chalitza. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, hutra ritzus min of a sandal. If the shoelaces of the min of a sandal were opened up, not through the woman, oi, shamat roiv haregel, and if most of the foot is not in the shoe, and the yavama only pulls off what's left on the foot, the halacha is chalitzas psula, until the shoe is put on tightly on the foot. So what do we see? Tam the shamat hu, only because he did most of the removal of the shoe from his foot. Or shamti hi, if she did most of the removal, the halacha is chalitzas k'sheira. So we see that the fact that the braisa says that as long as she takes off some of the shoe, the halacha is that it's a good chalitza, roiv haregel in. So we see that when she took the shoe off from the leg, it's fine. Roiv ha'ekev, that if she took it off from the bottom, it's not good enough. Loi, hayne roiv ha'ekev, hayne roiv ha'ekev. So what is the disqualification? Says the Gemara, hayne roiv ha'ekev, hayne roiv ha'ekev. We're talking about that the shoe was not on most of the sole of the foot. But my colleague roiv haregel, the kule chayla the kara, the entire foot, alay the chayis, is on, rests on the sole of the foot. Besile, this braisa that teaches us that the woman doesn't have to take off all of the shoelaces to make it the chalitza, a kosher chalitza, supports what Rabbi Yanai taught us. Da Rabbi Yanai kiven shehita hu, that if the yom untied the shoelaces, the shamtihi, and after the yavam untied the shoelaces, she pulled off the shoe, kiven shetir, ben shetiri hi v'shamat hu, or if she did untie the shoelaces and he pulled off the shoe, chalitza psula, it's not considered a valid chalitza. Achatatir hi v'tashmanhi. The chalitza is only considered a valid chalitza when she does everything, both the untying of the shoe laces and pulling them off from the foot. By Rabbi Yanai, karasa, if she ripped off the shoe from the Yavam's foot with the intention that that should create a proper chalitza. What is going to be the halacha, says the Gemara? What is the halacha? So fesua, or she burnt the shoe off his foot, again, with the intention of performing chalitza mahu. Is the point of the chalitza, Galuya Karabinan, that through her act, the foot should become revealed, and that's what happened, even though she didn't actually pull it off. Vayika, Adilma, chalitza binan. She has to actually pull off the shoe. And if she just ripped it off or burnt it off, Vileka, and the Gemara remains with a teku, the Gemara doesn't have a final answer. And the way I saw that the Mefarshim explained this Gemara's question, the Torah Kedoshah says, regarding the procedure of chalitza, v'chaltza naloi mir'al ragloi, is the point mi'al ragloi, that the shoe should no longer be al ragloi, or is the point of the Torah, what is the focus on the mi'al ragloi? Is the focus that the shoe is removed from his foot, or is the focus on the chaltzai, that she's the one that's removing the foot? And without knowing the answer to the question, that's why the Gemara remains with a teiku to this question. Boy, minei Rav Nachemya Miraba. Shnei Menalim Zal Gavzeh. If you have two shoes, one on top of the other, mahu, what is the halacha? So the Gemara, before delves into trying to answer the question, wants to understand the question. Hechidami, exactly what is the question? Ilema, the shelf saloi, that the man is wearing two pairs of shoes. She took off the upper pair, the kaitatai, and she left the bottom shoe on the foot. So that's certainly not going to be a good chalitza. For as we've learned, the Torah me'al ragloi amarachmana, the shoe has to be removed from the foot, v'loi me'al, the ma'al. That's not considered a valid chalitza. Says the Gemara, loy tzricha, the question that was posed, the karase liloi, she ripped the upper shoe, and then, v'shalf salatatoi, and pulled off the bottom shoe, v'koy aloi, and the upper shoe still remained on his foot. Chalitza binin, and the question is the point that there should be a chalitza and, from his foot? And that's what happened here. Vo'ika, Adilma, Glui Karabinin. Or does the halacha require that his foot be revealed? And here, because the upper shoe is still there, that Vileka is not in place. Ask the Gemara, Omika Kai Gavna, is there such a situation that's possible? People don't wear two pairs of shoes. In, says the Gemara, there are times that people wear two pairs of shoes, one on top of the other. The Chazir Rabban Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabban saw Rabbi Yehuda, the Nafik B'chamisha Zuzei Mukil Shuka, they saw him wearing five pairs of shoes in the street. And the Yavetz explains, why would a person wear five pairs of shoes? Because he was a person who was very cold, and by wearing the five pairs of shoes, that's how he kept himself warm. Taisa says, what does the Gemara mean with the question, Umi ikikahai gavna? Says the Gemara, what he meant to say was that since people don't normally wear two pairs of shoes, so it's considered not really wearing a shoe. And of course, as we're learning, in order to be able to properly perform a chalitza, you have to be wearing a shoe. This is not considered wearing a shoe. Says the Gemara, Amr, and the Gemara doesn't answer this question. Amr of Yehuda Amarav, Yavam Shagdila ben Achim, that this Yavam is a Shemeris Yavam, and she is living with the brother-in-laws. The Allah is, Mataris Lenasil Achim and Achim. She's allowed to get married to one of the brothers. Vein Chashin, the Allah of course is, that once Chalitza is performed, Yibam is no longer an option. Says the Gemara, we don't need to be concerned. We need not be concerned that maybe during the time they were together, she maybe pulled off the shoe from one of them. But says the Gemara, Tama, the only reason we need not be concerned, we never saw her pull off a shoe. Since we never saw her pull off a shoe, we need not be concerned that that happened. Ha chazina, had we seen her pull off the shoe, then we have to be concerned that that was done to fulfill the obligation of Chalitza. And since we have to be concerned that it was done to fulfill the obligation of Chalitza, so she's considered a Chalutza, and Yibum is no longer an option. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, haven't we learned in a Braisa? Benchin Eskavna, who? If the Yavam, during the procedure of Chalitza, had intention that this should be a considered a valid Chalitza, or Ben Veloin Eskavnahi, but that was not the Yavama's intention. Or Benchin Eskavnahi, she had that intention, Veloin Eskavnahu, but it was not his, Veloin Eskavnahu, it was not his intention. The Locha, Chalitza Subsul, it's considered an invalid Chalitza. Unless they both have the intention. So we see that a chalitza without the proper intention is considered an invalid chalitza. And Aruch Haner says that this halacha, that chalitza has to be done with kavana, is halacha l'moshe Sinai. The Chosin Yeshua says that the source for learning that chalitza has to be with kavana is the Torah says v'cholza na'aloi. It doesn't say v'tachlitz na'aloi. V'tachlitz na'aloi means that the shoe has to be removed. V'cholza means it has to be done with intention. There's a machloikis when we're learning now what the intention that a chalitza needs to have kavana. What is the kavana must have? Is it a kavana of kinyan that the woman is buying the right, that she's no longer under the domain of the Yavam and she can marry whoever she wants? Or is the Kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of Chalitza? Which really maybe goes back to an issue that we discussed at the beginning of the Perek, and that issue was, is Chalitza a mitzvah? If we say Chalitza is a mitzvah, so presumably the Kavana is supposed to be to fulfill the mitzvah. If on the other hand, Chalitza is not a mitzvah, so there's no Kavana of a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, so we see from here that we're worried. Rav said that if they did Chalitza, if we saw her do Chalitza, one of her brother-in-laws, now we need to be concerned that maybe she's a Chalitza. Why should we be concerned? The Chalitza is not considered a valid Chalitza without Kavana. Says the Gemara, this is what Rav Yudam Rav meant to say. Avagav de Chazinen. Even if we actually saw her take off the shoe from her brother-in-law's foot, we're still not concerned, because we may not be concerned, maybe she had intention to do a chalitza, and even if she actually did it, there's nothing to be concerned about. But there's a different way to understand this. Tam d'loy chazinan, only because we never saw actually do a chalitza. Ha chazinan, if we had seen her do a chalitza, chayshishin. Or the kartana, asking my eye, we've learned, boy kavana, that you have to have kavana, hani milish drila alma, aval achn mifsla. The Gemara introduces a concept that we've discussed early in the Masechta, and that's the concept of a chalitza psula. The definition of a chalitza psula is that it's an invalid chalitza, but it does accomplish that much that she no longer is a candidate for Yibam. And what the Gemara says here is that indeed, Chalitza has to have Kavana. And without Kavana, it would not be considered a valid Chalitza. But even though without Kavana, it's not going to be considered a valid Chalitza, the Halacha still will say that it's still enough of a Chalitza that this woman should not be able to have Yibam anymore. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Sandal HaTofer B'Pishtan, if a shoe, the thread to tie the shoe together, to sew the shoe together, was made out of linen, ain't chaltsimba. We're not allowed to use that for the chalitza, because he's teaching us that the chalitza has to be totally out of leather. And the way the Rishonim, Rashi, and others explain, because since we're saying that it's required to be leather, and the threads with which we sew together the shoe are what keep the shoe standing together. If it's not going to be sewn with leather thread, it's not going to be considered a leather shoe. Shenemar, and the Pasuk says, V'analch tachash. The Torah requires that it has to be made out of leather. Veima, says the Gemara, if we're learning from that Pasuk, tachashin, that the only animal leather that could be used is tachash, which is like an axe. Mirachrina now, loy, but any other type of leather is disqualified, says the Gemara, nal riba. Since the Torah used the word now more than once, we learn from here, any leather is acceptable. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, inanal riba, afilu kamilanami. Maybe what the Torah, by using the word now more than once, is teaching us that any material can be used for the shoe. Answers the Gemara, imkein tachash mehanale. In other words, what we're learning here is that there's a balance. On one hand, the fact says that it has to be now, doesn't require strictly tachash, but it has to be leather. Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam says, that the leather has to be used only from an animal which is a kosher animal. But Tosfos himself disagrees, and Tosfos says that any leather is fine, but the Arzurua says that since Rabbeinu Tam was machmer, that it has to be a kosher animal, that's what we should do. Barmine Rav Elazar Merav, who shall or, if the sandal was made out of leather, v'tersisoysov, and the shoelaces were sayer, mahu, were made out of the hair of a goat. Amalei, mi like Karina Beva Nalcha Tachish, that doesn't the pasuk of Nalcha Tachish teach us that it should be made out of leather, but anything that comes out of an animal is fine. And therefore, even if the laces were made out of the hair of a goat, it should be fine. Says the Gemara Yehochi, if that's the way you're going to learn, that as long as it's made out of something that's made from an animal, then the halacha ought to be Yehochi Kula Shel Seir Nami. It should be made out of, even if the entire shoe is made out of an animal hair, it should be kosher. Says the Gemara, Hahu Kirka Mamikri, a shoe that's made out of the hair of an animal is not called a leather shoe, it's called a kukuru shoe. Amalei, Rav Kahana L'Shmuel, Mahai Dehai, when the Pasuk says the procedure of the Chalitza, and the Torah Kedoshah says, V'cholza naloi, mal ragloi, says the Gemara, who says that what the Torah means to say, that it's performed, mishlefu, by pulling off the shoe, the ksiv, because the Pasuk says, V'chiltzu es avonim, asher benen hanega, that if there's a home that has stones that have a nega, they should be pulled out. But says the Gemara, Dilma, Veima, maybe what it means is Ruzehu, that the Yavama should put the shoe on the Yavam's foot. And where would we take that that's what Chalitza means? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk actually says, Chicholtzu me'itchem and Noshim l'tzava, that we should encourage people to go out to the army. Says the Gemara, Hasum Nami. Even in that context, when we're taking people to war, it means also to remove. Because what the pasuk means to say is shlusei mibeis selakarva. People should leave their home to go to war. Ask the Gemara v'ksib, but there's another pasuk. The pasuk says yichaltze oni ba'onyoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see a person that even though he's living in poverty, he's going to give him the strength to be able to continue further. So isn't that chalitza proof that it's a strength? Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the pasuk. Rather, the way to understand the pasuk is b'schar onyoy. Because this person suffered by being in poverty, because of that, he will be blessed that yichaltze medinish gehenim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not send him to gehenim. El diksiv, says the Gemara, there's another pasuk that says, choyna malach Hashem, again, that seems to mean that the Malach will give these people the strength to go further. Says the Gemara, Schar Yireyev, because the people that are Yireyev, Yichaltzeim Medina Shugahenim, the people who associate themselves with the Yirei Hashem will not go to Gehenim. El Hodik Siv, the Pasuk says that regarding the brachas, that somebody who encourages poor people, that's Masech Yachlitz, Vomer Velezer, Zuamula Shebrachas, that the brachas that is said over there, the biggest bracha is somebody who says a good word to a poor person, Vomer Rava, and Rava says, why is that the best bracha? Lezuzei Garmei, that you strengthen this poor person. So he sees chalutza means lazarus, to do something, not to undo something, in. Says the Gemara, actually correct. Mashmahachi, mashmahachi. The word chalitza could be taken in either way. Hocha, isal gadatach. If we're going to say by chalitza, the definition of by chalitza or of yivama, that the definition of chalitza is ruzihu, lich the rechmona, then the proper way for the pasuk should have said, it should have said, v'cholza nara baragloi, not mi ragloi. Answers the Gemara. Ikas rachmana baragloi, have a mina baragloi in, that only on his bottom of the foot, b'shoikoloi. And we've learned that it doesn't have, that even as long as it's below the knee, it's fine. That's why kas rachmana ma'al ragloi, that fila b'shoikoi, even if as long as it's below the knee, it's a kosher chalitza. Says the Gemara, imkein, again, if chalitza meant that you should put the shoe on, lichta rechmana but ma'al ragloi. May me'al ragloi. What does the Torah mean by using the word may ragloi? The halacha is that from here we see mishlafu. So our Gemara said that a person, strengthening a person, is the biggest bracha we could have. So I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a very interesting discussion. He says the Parshas Toldos, they were selling the aliyas in the shul. And the Gabbai made an announcement. When he came to sell Chamishi, he said, Chamishi has the bracha of Vayitein Lecha. And many people bid for that aliyah, and it was sold for a lot of money. But actually, the Gabbai had made a very big error. And the error was that Chamishi is not where the Vayitein Lecha appears. Actually, Chalitza appears, the Yitein Lecha appears in Shishi. So the person who bought Shishi did not spend a lot of money, says, I bought Shishi, fair and square. And the Yitein Lecha is in Shishi, so I'm going to get it. Everybody else says, it was obvious that the reason the Aliyah for Chamishi went up so much is because that everybody wanted to get the bracha. So the Sefer Chashukei Chemed says that every word of the Torah represents tremendous brachas. And there are words in Shishi that also represents tremendous bracha. And since it represents tremendous bracha and the sale was a fair sale, he should keep the Shishi, should go to the person who bought Shishi, and Chamishi should go to the person who bought Chamishi. Our Gemara discussed the question we just learned a little while ago, a situation where Yevama lived with her brother-in-laws. And the Gemara discussed the concern that she maybe take off the shoe of one of those brother-in-laws. And if she had taken off the shoe of one of those brother-in-laws, maybe she's considered a chalutza. And this opens up a question. You know, the halacha in, this normal, in certain situations does not allow certain people to live together. People who are divorced should not live in the same neighborhood. What is going to be the halacha? May a woman who is supposed to have yibum chalitza live with her brother-in-laws? So the Ramah in the Shaul Shachuvas Ramah, Simen Kufnen, the Ramah in Eben Ezer, Soif at the end of Simen Kufnen Zayin, quotes a Shachuvas Rashba, Simen Reish Tes, that says that if there's a lot of familiarity between the Yavam and the Yavama, it's inappropriate that they should live together. However, the Ramah, in quoting that Rashba, qualifies. He says that when may a Yavam and a Yavama not live together, that's only after the Chalitza Bir was performed. But, says the Ramah, if it's before the Chalitza was performed, there's no real concern. Of course, we have to be concerned that there should not be an issue of Yichud. And therefore, he says that the Halach is that if there's no Yichud issue, that the Halach is that the Yavam and the Yavama may live in the same home. Amalei hu b'mina l'Rav Gamliel. Amo, Klal Yisrael is a nation, the Chol Tzdei Marminei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given up on them. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, B'tzoynam u'b'karam, Yelchol Vakash Hashem, they will go to look for they will look for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and and they won't find Hashem, chalatz mehem, because he has distanced himself from them. Amalei, so Gamaliel said, Shaita, you foolish person, miksev chalatz lehem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated himself from Klal Yisrael, chalatz mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not, they did the chalitza from Hashem. What would be the halacha? He said, if we did the Yibum in the reverse order, instead of taking off the shoe from the Yavama, we took the shoe off the Yavam. Midam and Shash Esbei, it would be nothing. And here too, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klai Yisrael, are attempting, unfortunately, to separate themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that controls everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't accept that type of behavior, and therefore we are still and will always be connected to Hashem.